Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, April 8th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Tonight, it's our pleasure to have Hilary Ramo with us. She's a multi-gifted, internationally renowned clairvoyant, a multi-dimensional healer, speaker, teacher, radio show host, and author of Money Matters, Understanding Your Relationship with Abundance. Her work has been praised by numerous high-profile people, such as John St. Augustine, executive producer of Oprah XM Radio, and well-known metaphysical author Barbara Hand Clow. Her website is filled with thought-provoking and enlightening information, so check it out at hilaryramo.com, and that is H-I-L-L-A-R-Y, Hilary, Ramo, R-A-I-M-O.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. And we'd like to thank Fiona, Vanya, and Claudia for hosting the switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And when you visit our show page, remember to click follow. StarseedHotline.com also has an online community at StarseedHotline.ning.com, and we thank Tammy for her help and dedication to the forum. Our toll-free number is 888-881-0881, and the Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. And before I introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia, I would like to announce that next week our show will be dedicated to a tribute to Belva Bloomer, our beloved star sister, who left the planet April 3rd. And now I will introduce Lavendar and Anastasia. Hello, ladies.
Well, Lavendar here, and I'm really anxious to hear what the sun is up to, Anastasia.
Hi, good evening, everybody. It's so good to be with you guys.
Hey, Anastasia.
And hey, it's just a great another week here to start our news, and let's start with talking about the sun in honor of Lavendar's request here. They say that for the second day in a row, solar activity has been really low. All of the sunspots on the Earth side of the sun are either stable or they're in decay. So NOAA forecasters put the odds of an X-class flare no more than 1%. So real quiet right now, really simmered down. And on the 15th, I'm reminding everybody, there will be a total eclipse of the moon. They say that the event will be broadcast live on the web by the Coca-Cola Science Center if you aren't able to see it because of clouds. And as another reminder, we're having a close encounter with Mars. They say that this is the week to see the planet Mars because today Mars is at opposition. That means it's perfectly opposite the sun in the midnight sky. Now, on the 14th of April, Mars makes its closest approach to the Earth since 2012. They tell you to look for the red planet rising in the east at sunset, and they say that it will be shining brighter than a first magnitude star. So those sky watchers can look out for that. Well, there was a volcanic eruption in Russia. The volcano Shavluch erupted on Sunday at an altitude of 6 kilometers above sea level. The ash plume has spread northwest of the volcano. They say that there's no threats to settlements. although the volcano has been ranked with an orange code of a high eruption hazard, obviously, since it's already erupted. But in Ecuador, we had another volcanic eruption, and I'm not even beginning to cover all the volcanic eruptions across the planet. There is a bunch of them. But in this case, in Ecuador, it's the Tunguragua volcano that is erupting again. It is spilling ash and molten rock and large clouds of gas. It's near Benos, which is south of Quito. They say that it is spilling pyroclastic material, which, of course, you probably already know is that fast-moving current of hot gases and rocks. And so they're keeping an eye on that. They're monitoring the situation. There are ongoing tremors. They call this volcano the Throat of Fire, and it's a 5,000-meter volcano. And in Greece, there was an earthquake in southern Greece, in Athens. This was a few days ago. Seismologists say an earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 5.7 rattled southern Greece and was felt in the capital of Athens. There were no immediate reports of injuries or damage, and that was a few days ago, and I didn't see any follow-ups on that. I assume that was nothing new to report on that. And in China, there was an earthquake of 5.3 in southwest China that did cause some injuries to people. They say that 10 people were injured once this 5.3 magnitude earthquake struck a town in southwest China over the weekend. And in France, in southern France, there was a rare earthquake. That's very unusual, they say, but an earthquake of preliminary magnitude 5.0 shook southern France. It was just yesterday. And this is according to France's National Seismic Monitoring Network. They say that this quake's epicenter was about 30 miles from the resort city of Nice and just a few miles out of Monaco, 69 miles to be exact. They say that it originated at 7 miles deep and struck in the evening, and they say that there were no immediate reports of damage. In Argentina, there has been a surprise storm. A massive storm hit Argentina over the weekend and Monday, yesterday, which has caused flooding and evacuations of more than 2,000 people across that area of the country. The National Weather Service said that more than 8 inches of rain fell since Wednesday on the capital of Argentina. They say that's more than the annual rainfall for that city in a typical average year.
Wow.
And 8 inches. And you may recall that we've talked about this from time to time about odd winter wildfires that have been reported this year. Lived my long life and really haven't heard about as many winter wildfires as I've heard in this past winter. And there was another one again in New Jersey. They say that the wildfire that occurred in Wharton State Forest in southern New Jersey had made so much smoke that they could smell it in New York City. And as of the last report, which was yesterday, they say that it burned more than 1,500 acres or about 2 square miles. They don't know the cause of that wildfire. And also along the Appalachian Trail in Maryland, now mind you, the snow is barely melted and it's still cool out that way, but they have had a wildfire along the Appalachian Trail northeast of Boonesboro that scorched a couple of acres, and so nobody knows as the cause of that. They're investigating it. And by the way, it was placed under control. In the Solomon Islands, there were flash floods yesterday. They say that flash floods have killed 19 people in the Solomon Islands while 40 are missing, and they say that 49,000 people have been left homeless. They say that entire riverside communities and bridges were washed away when the Matanikau River broke its banks on Thursday. And so that was an ongoing problem, but they say that it's a state of emergency, and a lot of people were displaced, a lot of homes damaged, and they say that they are worried about dengue fever catching and spreading. So that's always a problem when you have floods in that part of the world. And in Ireland, this is something you might be interested in, Lavendar, which kind of makes me think of Atlantis, although this is a natural-born sheep. An Irish farmer claims to be the proud owner of a rare hybrid between a goat and a sheep. It's a half-goat, half-sheep, which they call a geep. And they say that although they look similar, goats and sheep belong to a different genus, and it's very rare to see them cross. Now, the Irish Times reports that sheep have 54 chromosomes, while goats have 60. They say that matings do occur, but it's usually a stillborn that occurs, and they say that it's very, very rare for that to happen. And those of you that live in Florida, I'll bet you've seen this, because they say that there are just hundreds and hundreds of dead and dying palm trees in Florida right now because of the big chill. It got so cold this past winter, that we're just coming out of. In fact, it got into the teens, that they say that the palm trees all the way from Pensacola International Airport to backyard cabbage palms, the small palms versus the really big palms, all the palm trees have been affected by this weather, and they are wondering if they're going to die back entirely, if they should even prune them, take them out, do what. They don't know, but if you're looking up at the palm trees in Florida, you're going to notice that they're all withered up. That's unfortunate. U.S. Department of Agriculture has reported, though, that a lot of these palm trees that they planted in Florida were not native to that area, and so they're suggesting that if you replant your palm trees, that you check with their hardiness zone map to see what palms can survive in Florida. Sometimes they plant things that are not zone tolerant, and I guess that's happened. That's why a lot of these plants died. And there's been some reports about bee attacks in the news. They say that in India, 50 people were really injured badly because a hive of bees attacked a group of people in an apartment complex. They don't know what made the bees become agitated. It's hard to say. I've been reading a few reports off and on about bee attacks, and this is just one of the ones that came out just most recently. In previous weeks, I've told you about the Galveston oil spill. Remember us talking about that? Mm-hmm. Well, now they say that the oil spill is under control, but there's new evidence coming ashore that shows that just what, 168,000 gallons of oil can do to animals. Because the Coast Guard is now confirming that 30 dead dolphins have been found in the Galveston area since that spill, with a 48 total in the month of March, last month. So they say that's well above average. They're pretty certain that the oil spill caused the additional deaths. I guess they lose some every year. They say that last year there were only 15 dead dolphins, but now they're finding a whole lot more. So, of course, that's going to affect the wildlife, the oil is not going to be good for them. And this is sort of a concerning story. I've been reading about this for some time, about the monarch butterflies. Well, gradually they've just been depleting across the planet. And this was a story out of the Miami Herald that they wrote and said that the monarch butterflies are disappearing off the face of the earth. You know, every year they migrate to Mexico. They migrate to and from Mexico. And as they're counting them in this particular season, they say that the colonies of butterflies are really dropping. They're smaller and smaller every year, and smaller this year than ever before. So they say that the monarch butterfly population is on the cusp of disappearing. And that is probably due to pesticides and probably to habitat destruction, don't know, but that's what's going on. And actually, some of you may have noticed that we just don't see as many of them in our backyards as we used to. They used to be very common. And so you notice that they're getting more and more rare, kind of like the ladybugs. Don't see many ladybugs anymore either. And in Duncan, Oklahoma, there have been more phantom booms. Now, last Wednesday night, people were rattled after hearing what sounded like a large explosion. They say that people are used to the sound of rolling thunder in Oklahoma, of course, or maybe it's Fort Sill's artillery. But what the people in Stevens County experienced Wednesday night was something altogether different. They haven't found the cause of that. It was not lightning. It was not thunder. It was not artillery. And a day later after that, people in other counties in Bray, Duncan, Marlow, and Cotton and Tillman counties also reported hearing booms. And the law enforcement there doesn't know what it is, but they say they'll continue to investigate. And in a related story, in Norman, Oklahoma, the day following the mysterious booms in the sky. There was a report of dead blackbirds falling from the sky. People were reporting finding birds laying on the ground in the yards and so forth. Nobody knows what caused that. The Department of Wildlife thought that maybe it would be attributed to weather patterns or environmental stressors, but of course they offered no specifics. I think it's interesting. There may be a correlation. We don't know. But in the same day, the day after the booms, all of these birds are found falling from the sky. There weren't thousands of them. I think the report indicated that there were 30 to 50. But nevertheless, that seems to be something that might be related to the booms in the sky. And, you know, our last story tonight is out of live science. And I'm just bringing this to you because it's a sort of a human interest psychology piece. But they say that most people have unwanted worrying thoughts. Now, Ariel, Lavendar, myself, we all work trying to get people to pull their thoughts up and to think positively, and we do a lot of work with that. And Ariel, you're going to find this interesting. They say that anxiety-producing thoughts are considered to be a common symptom of obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD. And scientists are now thinking that this actually may be widespread in the general population. A new study, for whatever that's worth, has found that more than 94% of people have unwanted intrusive thoughts and impulses. The participants in this study were asked detailed questions to gauge whether they experienced intrusive thoughts, such as maybe a feeling of contamination or an image of their house on fire, or et cetera, et cetera. Well, they say that such thoughts are considered different from worries and sort of thinking about past events. They say that these kinds of thoughts are more possessive and intrusive, and they say that people with intrusive thoughts tell themselves that they think their thoughts are strange, but they don't know what to do about it. And psychologists are saying that they think that this is a connection or a connection to obsessive compulsive disorders. But my feelings on that is simply higher stress, greater negativity, and that people need to be taught to think positively, to work their thoughts in a different direction. And some of the things that you teach them, Ariel and Lavendar, and that I do in my work. So they're doing studies on this, but really... Yeah. I think that it's an indicator of a greater state of fearfulness and disturbance in the collective, the overall psyche of people at large. What do you think about that, Ariel?
I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, hold me back. You know, somebody
I knew you were going to do that.
I mean, I'm listening to this, and I'm just wanting to beat those people up because, not really, but...
No,
you
know what you're talking about. Now, they're calling this a condition. I want you to talk to the starseed a little bit and respond to this report.
When third-dimensional science can't explain something, then they invent a condition or a syndrome or something like that. But when you think about all the pharmaceuticals, antidepressants, the transmissions from cell phone towers, the frequencies coming out of HARP, I mean, it's a wonder that any of us can, you know, muddle through from day to day. And the thing is, when you have a thought, and this has happened to me, where it's like, that is not me, that is external, and you just transmute it. You pull up your energy, you just pull out that lightning, and you say transmute, and it busts up like a fake mirror. Like a picture that was on
Absolutely.
Glass, and it just shatters and it goes away. We are subject.
It shatters the energy. Yes.
We're subject to so much electromagnetic transmissions that it's going to wreak havoc with your brain chemistry. And you know, then add in all the pharmaceuticals that we're taking, and you know, so let's just put another label on people. It's like, oh, if you have these kind of thoughts, you must have a condition. It's like,
and make it worse. Let's medicate them.
yeah. I mean, like a giant setup waiting to happen. So, you know, as starseed people, we have a collective consciousness and an ability to offset things like this. And, you know, and the things that you bring to our attention in the news, it is to be informed, but it also gives us areas to send this transmutational energy to help with the environment, to help with the people that are experiencing natural disasters and trials and tribulations with the planet going through her changes. So
absolutely.
When you focus on an area or an happening or things that are going on, this is a target for us to help, you know, to contribute to
absolutely
the changing of that energy, turn it back
to serve
up.
As a counterbalancing. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I think it's really important that this is coming up right now, because it really just by listening to the areas in the news, these are places where we as starseeds can send, you know, healing and light and transmutation of negative energies and calming of fears, soothing of pain and anxiety that these people must be going through.
Absolutely. I'm sure starseed out there can, excuse me, go ahead.
I'm just saying
Sorry.
That this is something that we can do, you know, right from our living rooms.
Absolutely.
You know, when you hear about an area in the world that needs help.
And for you, starseed out there, who can think of times in your life when you've just been kind of bopping along, you know, with your day, whatever, and all of a sudden from out of nowhere a wave of peace or comfort or goodness comes over you, get encouraged, you feel strength, and you go, where did that come from? Well, that can be either from divine helpers and guides or energy from ships or whatever you want to call it, but it can also be from someone in 3D who's doing light work somewhere, who is sending out good energy, and you caught the wave. And so you turn that around, and you do that for others. You be the light. You hold the light. You project the energy. Because people in areas of need, you don't know who's going to be receptive, but at some point somebody's antenna is going to be open. You're going to give strength, help, and healing to those that need it from on far sides of the planet and people you've never seen before, but to whom we are all interconnected. It does work. It's, you know, energy mail works. Just send it, and good things happen. And we can turn that around. But I appreciate what you had to say, Arielle, because I knew you were going to jump on that, and I wanted you to.
I'm interested to hear what Hillary has to say about that as well.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get to Hillary. I'm going to sign off for tonight's news, but I'm looking forward to the show. And we'll catch all of you next week.
Okay, Anastasia, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Right now, I would like to introduce our special guest, Hillary Ramo. Just let me get your mic open there for a second. All right. Hello, Hillary. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, sisters. This was wonderful. That was amazing to listen to. What a treat.
Well, we usually try to bring some useful information for every show, but we're so happy to have you with us. And Lavendar is standing by here. But I just wanted to say that I have spent some time on your website, and it is really rich. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful information and thoughts in your blog, in your books. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, you know, it's been a wonderful journey. It certainly has been a wonderful human experience so far. but I just want to comment that as I was listening to the first part of your show, I was so taken by the fact that you women are doing this, where you circle the Earth events. I mean, the news broadcast was amazing in itself, because there are so many people who are starting to wake up to start to track these kinds of things. And so to have somebody go through all of the events, I mean, everything that she was speaking about are things that I check every day. And there are headlines that I look for specifically. And there are so many other people out there who are starting to do the same thing. And you guys have it here nicely summarized in one wonderful place. So I have to congratulate you for doing this. This is extremely important. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I know that, you know, Anastasia is very dedicated and, you know, keeps us informed of things that you just won't hear on the mainstream news. And as I said before, it gives us all a place to focus, to send the healing. And, you know, you don't have to do anything except just sit quietly and send it. Really doesn't take
a lot.
What
I love about this is that you're right that people don't see this in the mainstream, and I do believe it's for a reason. You know, the mainstream media is tainted towards a certain kind of picture that creates a certain kind of energy that goes through the masses of people. And, you know, the more people you have believing and feeling, you know, certain energy or emotionals, you create kind of a cloud. And that cloud just keeps growing and growing and growing the more you expose people to that. So then you have the other people who start to listen to news like you just, you know, had this hour, and you start to get people who start to see the connections between not only spirit and the body, but the body and the earth and our emotions and the energies that we swirl around us on a regular basis. So we can't track that if we're watching the mainstream media and all they're talking about is a missing plane for 30-some-odd days and, you know, targeted towards very superficial, oftentimes meaningless programming to, you know, the more extensive kind of drama. You know, let's focus on memorializing the dread. And, you know, we have the Boston Marathon memorial coming up on the 15th of this month, but we also have an incredible astrological event happening on the same day. So the majority of people who are giving their energy towards woe is me, the world is dangerous, I have to be afraid, or are people going to be paying attention to the earth cycles and the incredible connection that's created between our bodies and our minds and our souls and our, you know, everything that we are completely to a cosmic thread that goes out eternally? I mean, if it were up to me, my Saturday night would be spent doing that instead of sitting in front of the TV worrying about this, you know, talking to friends about, oh, the world is going to blow up, everything sucks, it's all horrible. We have to change the energy, and that's exactly what the three of you were speaking about before I came on, and you were describing it very well, and I hope people are paying attention and listening to what you're saying, because it's exactly what needs to happen in order for us to kind of clear the cloud and let that sun come back through.
Very well said. And, yeah, I mean, we've just started our fifth year on the air, and we have a really wonderful group of listeners. Our audience is very awake, starseed, not afraid to talk about the taboo subjects that, you know, to us it's normal, and so what's normal for us might be taboo for someone else, but there is a comfort that comes in knowing that, hey, there's millions of us on the planet, and with the internet, the world is very small. So, and that, I know that that must scare the powers that were, that are still trying to hang on.
Because, I like that, the powers that were. That's good thinking.
Yeah, because the starseed people are here contributing to the raising of consciousness and also, you know, lending a hand where we can, as we said, you know, in places in the world where you know, Mother Earth is raging, or other, you know, things that happen that they're not pleasant. But you can't put your head in the sand. But at the same time, you can't weave this giant cloud like you were talking about that just keeps people's focus over here, so that we don't notice what they're doing over there.
You know, I always suggest people ask the matriarch in their families how they're feeling to get a real class, you know, up-close view of what's going on with the earth. Because the matriarchs in the family, the women, the elder women in the family are going to feel it first, and then it trickles down. Just a little heads up for people who, you know, want to, you know, kind of a premonition of what's coming or what the earth is feeling. You know, if the matriarch in your family is really pissed off, I bet you're going to see a lot of pissed off things happening in the world. If she's in love with life, you're going to see a lot of bloom. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's true, because there is a resonance with the feminine between the earth and the elder, the matriarchs. I wanted to ask you, because you had said something on your website about your affinity for the planet Mars and having it being so close coming up next week. Do you have some comments or projections about what that will bring to the planet or to us individually?
Yeah, you know, okay, you know, for me, the planet Mars, you know, I usually seem to track that from myself personally. When it comes through closest in July and August, it's usually a summer alignment that I happen to notice. There are times, you know, it happens every few years, but it does come in rather closely, and I pay attention to those announcements. Because I call them my dog days of summer. It's, you know, the weather changes where I live. There's some significant things like that happen. But for me, emotionally and physically and spiritually, it just really opens me up. It's a real big catalyst for, you know, that raw, in-depth motion that it usually doesn't get a chance to see the surface or see the light of day. And I don't know, it's just a really potent time, I guess is the right word. It's a very potent time. So I wrote about it on my blog, The Yin Factor, because somebody had actually sent me the link, and they said, oh, look what's going on. This wonderful friend of mine, Jessica, she sends me things every now and then. And she always seems to hit it right on the mark because she's following and tracking the same things we were just discussing about, these earth changes, these solar events, these kind of things. So she sent it along my path, and I said, oh, no, it's coming in April. My birthday is April 15th, so I already have this, you know, full moon, lunar eclipse happening, and so I'm preparing for that, you know, in the way that I do for these things. And to find out that Mars was now coming in April versus the July, August time when I usually connect to it, was interesting to me, because when I started to look into the article and I looked at the graphic and it's showing how, you know, right now it's Mars is, I guess today your woman had suggested it's, what did she say? It was directly opposite, in opposition to the sun?
Yeah.
Okay, so she had said that, and so I'm starting this kind of dance with Mars now, which is an interesting kind of cosmic dance. And so the way I relate to Mars archetypally is as a consort, because there's a lot of sexual energy, there's a lot of kundalini energy that rises, and this is the closest he's ever going to be in all, you know, what I think since 2012. So it's a potent time, and 2012 was a big year. It was a big year for me personally. It was a big year for us as a planet. So this is really interesting that Mars is coming in as a consort to this eclipse. You know, you can even put it in kind of like a partnership. And I know one of the things we were going to talk about tonight was partnership. So what we were talking about earlier is the woman quality, that matriarch quality, that divine feminine, really strong connection to the earth. You know, when we partner that within all women with a very strong, powerful, catalytic kind of supportive divine masculine energy, we have an incredible pairing of energies that creates what you guys were talking about, you know, each of us creating this powerful bubble of projected happy love. But when you partner with a love partner, a partner you have an intimate relationship with, a partner that you have sex with, a partner that you raise the kundalini with, a partner that you really take into all realms of being, you are in actuality becoming like a plural into a singular. You know, you're creating a kind of trinity. So there's a really powerful energy that's created with this on the micro and the macro, because it's all the same thing. And when you have alignments like this come in, we're dealing with the element of Mars. And most people say, well, that's the god of war. Well, so is Aries. But Aries is also about fire. And Mars is also about fire. It's a fire element. You have a real spiritual quality to that fire, that inner flame, the twin flame concept between male and female energies. And when you join the flame, you create a stronger flame. And that stronger flame creates more heat, creates a bigger bubble, goes out into the world, you know, and it does a lot of really powerful good, even in things that we may not see necessarily. So when she was talking about these booms happening in the middle of the country, you know, boom can mean a lot of things. It can also mean epiphanies. You know, and blackbirds leave, they transition. Well, they don't just fall from the sky and land dead on the ground. Their spirits ascend. So
right.
We can look at, you know, that kind of things or those kinds of different things, and we can, you know, start to kind of weave together these things. So the way I'm looking at this Mars aspect is really as a reminder to remember to look at the bigger picture and to go into these kinds of meanings and weave yourself, you know, feel yourself through a different vision of how you see it, and that will affect the body, and it trickles down into everything from that point.
So I was kind of smiling because when you started talking, explaining about that, I really felt the Aries energy from you, and then you said your birthday's March 15th. I went, oh, boy. Yeah, and I'm an Aries, too, so I'm really, really up close and personal with that. You know, Mars is the ruler of Aries, that fire. And, you know, fire, it can create or it can destroy. It depends on how you wield it. Excuse me. You know, because you can, if you can focus that, I mean, I see this event with Mars happening, and it's probably going to stir up a lot of stuff that needs to be stirred up, you know, like the sediment on the bottom of a bucket. It's like you think the water's clear, but it's not. There's a bunch of mud on the bottom, and sometimes you have to stir it up to get rid of it. But at the same time, if you can focus that fire like a laser beam, you can do a lot of really wonderful work and really stand up and be counted. So, you know, I'm just going to observe and see how it plays out for different people, but at the very least, I would say that if you feel a little irritable, just say, oh, it's just Mars. It'll be over in a few days. You know, and move on. Don't, you know, you can't really get sucked into that irritable part of Mars, because there is an impatience that it brings, that where you just can hardly stand it anymore and you just have to get out of there. You know,
I'm going to suggest people take it out, you know, in love and sexuality with their partners through it all. They'll be very happy.
and for those that don't have that option, you know,
find the love in something that they love. Yeah, I mean, it's
physical,
it's
exertion.
Really just,
you know,
yeah,
plant your garden,
sweat.
You know, play outside, but express that energy and use it, because it's there, it's available. It's like a full tank of gas, and all you have to do is tap into it, and, you know, don't light a match, okay?
No, I think, can I say something here? I think,
oh, sure.
your listeners are very much in tune with what's going on. They can't not listen to your show and not know that, you know? And so what I'm going to suggest to people is that, for those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about, you go out there and you create a ceremony and you bring in the love and you do the light work and you make it something that counts. And you do it with intention and you do it with a real kind of dedicated precision, because there are those that are working on the other side with just as much equal commitment and precision to make the opposite happen. But we know exactly what we're doing and we need to start doing it. So I would ride the wave of Mars as a kind of catalytic force that, you know, really lights the fire under your ass to really get up and stand up and walk your walk and do the work through this portal. There is a 78-minute opening in the early, early morning of the 15th. I think it's 3 a.m., excuse me, on the 15th. And for 78 minutes, there is an opening, and if you know what, you know, that's a wonderful place to send a lot of love and to create a lot of love and make a lot of love. And so I'm going to suggest that everybody kind of tune in, and if you're doing the work, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about and you'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very rare opportunity. So I know Lavender is standing by, because usually I turn the show over to her, but we just started rolling with it, and I think that we do want to talk about some more of the things that you write about. And I just have to say that I loved your blog, The Yin Factor, because right there on the top you have the beautiful white owl, and that's also, you know, one of the mascots that we have on our website, because of the what the owl represents
and connection to the goddess energies. So I just loved it when I saw that.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, the Athena, she's something else, and she's watching over her starseed sisters, that's for sure.
Well, no doubt, no doubt. but there was a you were wanting to talk about the mind body connection, healing body connection to the earth, that kind of started getting into that, and then we got off track.
Well, we're always on track. We're just kind of flowing with the information as it comes in. And, you know, it's not all about me. So, I mean, I love to talk about this stuff. And you know, my writing's there. People can find what I do. It's all there. You know, I invite you to come interact. You know, I interact on my blog. I also have an active community on Facebook. You're welcome to join me there as well. I do a Thursday night show. We're starting shows up again on April 24th on Achieve Radio. You know, I have a couple events coming up. I'm doing a day in Sedona in May. I'm doing Mount Shasta. I have a retreat going for July of this year. And I'm doing a Peru trip next year where we're going to be going and doing some plant medicine. And all of that information will be on my website. And if people are interested, or they could always email me through my website as well. So I'd be happy to give anybody more information about that as well. So that's me in a nutshell. We can just get that out of the way. And you all, you know, and go back to what we were talking about, because it's much more interesting, to be honest with you, because one of the things that I had written down when I was making notes when she was doing the news, you know, we have the Throat of Fire volcano. We have a southern France rare earthquake. You know, we're talking about that feminine energy coming to life within the planet. And, you know, her throat, you know, her words, the sounds that she makes, the things that come out of her, those resonating frequencies that she emanates, is changing. There's a fire. And look what we were just talking about, Mars, the fire coming in, the lunar. There is an incredible opportunity for women to set their intention as well, to really start to honor their divine feminine aspects, and for men to clear the way to be able to support that as a guardian and also as a partner that stands next to them, to really be able to begin to open up what I call human technology, where our bodies really become the machine. And so two are always better than one, right? I mean, that's usually what people say. Well, you
certainly
know, and
the creative force comes from the balance of masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. in perfect, you know, sacred union. And even when you have, you know, masculine and feminine within the individuals, you still have to have it in balance between the individuals. And when it is, there's literally nothing that cannot be created from that energy.
I was just writing about this yesterday and this morning, actually, and I was talking about, you know, the zone that comes from that. There is a zone that's created, and there is a quality of in the beginning to that zone. In the beginning, fill in the blank. In the beginning, there was origin. There was creation of anything. And I believe that when men and women get together, when I say it symbolically, but I also say it literally, okay? I'm talking about it all the way across the multidimensional aspects of that. When men and women come together, they create a vitality that is strong enough to create life and conceive life. So, and that life is you. That life is your ancestors. It's your descendants. It's everything that creates the human species. That absolutely is one of the most powerful forces that you have. And it also is symbolic of the greatest force that we can perceive out in the cosmos, as far as we can see, you know, whatever event you want to, you know, associate that with is equal in size. And so when you have the ability to kind of come into that space and you can let all the world go and you can pull all of your multidimensional selves into one place, imagine the concentrated energy that forms. Now, when you have a partner who can do the same and come into that space and do the same, imagine that, the feeling of that. And then when you go into what the diffraction of those rippled effects, those emanations really are, we're talking about a kind of creative force that really, you know, it's a very fertile field. and you can impregnate just about anything you want. So if you go in there with the intention of impregnating it with love, you can just imagine the amplification of that signal. And that's why I believe that that's really what we're dealing with as we move forward into our higher evolution and our higher expressions of self. You're talking about a kind of quality of machine that's not, doesn't need apps, doesn't need Facebook, doesn't need email, doesn't need text, doesn't need a phone, it doesn't even need to talk to you, but it can sensually, telepathically create a field of interaction between two people anywhere in the cosmos, not just in the city or the country or the planet, but anywhere in the cosmos. So when people talk to me or they come to me and they talk to me about soulmates, twin flames, it could be that your perfect one is not even on the same planet, but if you learn to connect to him like that, you can do the work.
Right, because there's no separation, there's no time and space in through the dimensions, so there really is no separation. But I know a lot of people would like to have the physical body to relate to.
Well, then in touch. I mean, the touch is the missing link. Because when you have a beloved sitting across from you and you're creating this kind of energy, you don't think you're not going to want to touch that? That's an experience that your body deserves at that point, don't you think? I mean, it's almost like you have created this atmosphere around you. And then, you know, everything starts in the energetic and comes into the physical. And then it comes into the physical and it opens up your cells, it opens up your neurons, it opens up, it goes into the blood, the yin, you know, it goes into your elementals. And then you reach out and you touch somebody in love, in a state of love. That's one of the most beautiful blessings anybody can ever do for anyone.
Well, that's true. And I know that, you know, a lot of women are finding themselves in transition, and they're kind of the eagles flying solo. But I love what you said, because the soulmate doesn't necessarily have to be, sitting across the room from you. No matter where they are, you can still connect and you can still work together. So I really love that concept.
And then, you know, you get together eventually, but we're talking, you know, when we talk about lifetimes, we're talking about billions of lives. You know, the minute amount of time we are here in this exact space and body and everything is so little that it doesn't even really matter what else is going on, except that you find each other, you find your soul sisters and your soul brothers also, you wake the others up, but you really hold the space for your partner, you know, your cosmic partner to step into that so that you can do the work. And if you're lucky enough to manifest it physically, then you have some physical work to do together. And that's why you're here at the same time in a physical body, because you are able to create that within the body structure. And that's, I mean, we're living in a 3D world. We have plant realms. We have different realms on this planet that are physical. And we aid in their health and vitality by interacting with all realms from a state of that kind of love. It's almost like they crave it. I mean, anybody who ever has walked through a garden that hasn't been watered, you know what it looks like. It's like that's the same thing with the plants energetically. If they're not getting the love, they're getting something else, and they're not going to be growing to their fullest potential either.
And there, excuse me, there is a lot of energy available from the body and earth connection. There is so much usable energy in nature, and a lot of people that I talk to practice regularly, you know, going out, even just hiking and being quiet, putting your back up against a tree, you know, really becoming, let's say, leaving behind all this stuff that you mentioned with the cell phones and the computers and the internet, and just go back out and you know, sit on the ground alone on the in a natural setting. There's a lot of energy and power that can be used
that you can then...
There's a lot of purpose to that. There's a lot of purpose to that because you have a, you create electromagnetic energy from your heart center. In fact, it's been scientifically proven that your heart center creates more electromagnetic energy than your brain or anything else on your body. So when we're told to get out of our hearts, you know, or don't go in your heart, you might get hurt, or whatever, you know, we're really cutting ourselves short from our greatest power center. And when we go out into nature fully plugged into that electromagnetic center, everything around us benefits. It's just amazing how you can see the difference in the environment because we're overriding all of that other stuff, the cell phones, the this, the that, and everything else. If we all got on board with doing that and accepting that as reality, we would change the planet very quickly.
And, you know, it's kind of a... I don't know what the word is, but the fact that before we got to America, the Native Americans have that down. I mean, they had it perfected, the oneness with nature. And there's a lot to learn in Native American cultures that can help us get back to that.
Thankfully, they have held their traditions, and they have had those who have held that in safe regard. They've been guardians of that for a long time, thankfully, because at any point, some of them could have just walked off and said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And then we would have lost that. Imagine that. That would have been, you know, very detrimental. But thankfully, we do have people who are holding that torch and who are teaching their children in the generations to come to hold that torch for those people who will want to remember, or will get to the point where we will have to remember as a species. Otherwise, we're going to just, boom, like the blackbirds and leave and transcend, and that's it. You know, it's very important to respect the indigenous cultures of any and all lands, but that also includes the white people, because we're indigenous too, somewhere. We have to really get back to our roots. I mean, what we're really dealing with is not only, you know, looking to those cultures who have kept it alive, but we're looking to really remember who we really are and to put that back together, because so many of us have forgotten where we really come from, you know? I mean, and if you go back further and further, really, we all come from the same place. We've just migrated off into different worlds on the same planet.
Right. And I know there's a lot of native cultures that still live very close to the earth. But I learned so much from Lavendar introduced me to the work of Jamie Sams. And this was another person that she has worked with and empowered. And Lavendar, if you want to chime in on this, your mic's open. But Jamie's put together a couple of books that really kind of boil down the medicines of the various animals and the Native American traditions, and it really helps, and I'm really saying this for the benefit of everyone, that you can get so much information from Mother Nature if you know how to read the signs. And these are two readily available books, the Sacred Path, and there's cards that come with it, so you can get like a daily reading for yourself, and the medicine cards, which are all about the animals. And it's uncanny, Hillary, when you're really tuned into that, and you start noticing animals coming into your life and they're trying to tell you something. And if you can decode that, it's really valuable information. And that's what I learned from the work of one person. And I know there's a whole wealth of information on the subject out there, but that's just what I've been exposed to.
Well, it's important to realize that, you know, just like the plant kingdom, we're also so very connected in all levels with all other realms, too, the animal realm, you know, even the elemental realms, you know. It's nothing is separated. It's just a perspective that most people have fallen asleep to, and it's a reality that most haven't been taught to really live. I mean, our kids are certainly not taught that in school. And, you know, if we're lucky, we find somebody who can teach us these earth-connected ways, and we can practice that and put it into our lives and extend it into our family and teach our own children and our own generations to come up underneath us. But, you know, I mean... we have a tremendous amount of interference on this planet with people being able to really fully actualize themselves to the point where they are like gigantic batteries. You don't need the Great Pyramid anymore because you've actualized the human being everywhere.
Well, that would be great. I've got to ask you, when did you wake up? When did you start, or have you always known what you know? Was there some catalyst or a visitation or something?
Well, you know, I mean, no, I certainly was not, you know, I mean, I was building up to where I am today, but it's taken me my life experience to open up these parts of myself. You know, I believe that we come in carrying our mission in energy coded patterns within our fields, our own personal fields. And as we go through life, as we interact in the different situations that we interact in, we awaken those codes within our energy body. And when I say actually it's within our physical body too, because it's in both places, if there's no differentiation between the energy and the body necessarily when you look at it from a certain perspective. It's all one thing. It's just different layers of kind of seeping down into the actual realization of what you're actually thinking to the conscious mind. You know, I have a background in psychology. I've studied shamanism for a long time. I've worked with Native teachers. I've had a lot of help along the way. My first one was my grandfather, who started working with me, you know, when I was very young, and he was a psychic, and he worked with meditation, and this was before the years of the internet. But he did get into it, and he did it professionally for a long time. And, you know, when I was around 5 years old, he was working with a biofeedback machine. And I was fascinated by it because when I walked into the room, you know, he was making this thing click. And he goes, you want to see something really cool? You want to see how you can slow it down or speed it up? And so he showed me how he could close his eyes and make this thing slow down. I was like, whoa, this is the greatest thing. What is this? This is amazing. And so he said, here, you want to try it? So I said, of course, you know. Jumped right up on the couch, says, ready, hook me up to the machine. And he said to me, do you want to go on a little trip? And I said, of course I do, you know. So he took me through an actual past life regression at 5 years old. And it was so easy for me to get out of my body and to go into this place. And I followed his prompts, and I was literally just boop, right out of the body. And I met my parents from a past life. And they were farmers, and they were, you know, it looked, the landscape reminded me of upstate New York where I live now. But it also, I had a feel of England. And then when I went to London a few years ago, we were there for a promotion of a movie, but we had gone off into the countryside. And I was like, wow, this really looks like upstate New York. The countryside of England looks a lot like that area. And I had seen my parents, and I had remembered my life with them. And I remembered my home, I remembered my dog, I remembered, you know, a lot of very specific details. I died as a child. And so there was an immediate emotional reaction to seeing them again and to having these memories really kind of come back to life immediately. And so when I came back, I was like one of those kids in a movie. You know, if you ever watch those movies, you see those kids drawing profusely images, you know, taking picture, you know, drawing picture after picture. Well, that was me. And I was drawing these pictures of my parents, and I was drawing pictures of my house, and totally freaked my parents out. They had no idea what to do with me at this point. And so they ended up, sadly, you know, taking a lot of that and throwing it out. They didn't want my grandfather doing that ever again, and they were really kind of just afraid of it. So he only worked with me when he could, and, of course, I snuck off and, you know, oh, take me up to the clouds again. And he never actually did another meditation like that, but he taught me how to work with stones. He taught me how to work with crystals. He taught me how to work with nature spirits. There was a lot of that. And so that's really what kind of formed my foundation. And, of course, when I became a teenager, I didn't want anything to do with it. I was like, oh, get this away from me. I just want to go party with my friends and be normal. And so take this cloak off. I don't want it. And I went through a period of that, and I call those my inner hood days, you know, where I was kind of in the hood and I wasn't really interested in anything to do with any of that. It was really just kind of my rebel stage. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons in those years. And what I also learned was that no matter how hard you try to push away what you are, it will never stop being there because it can't be separated from you. So you will always see signs. You will always see things that remind you. You will always see these kind of synchro mystical happenings, and you'll be like, what the heck? You know, what's going on? Until you get your butt back on the path and you start doing what you're supposed to be doing, because you have a limited time here. You don't have the luxury. And if you're not going to do it now, then when are you going to do it? You know, when you
right.
like yourself better, when you lose 20 pounds. I mean, there's just so many different things that we tell ourselves that stop us from doing this kind of thing. So for me, it was a gradual progression through a lot of different stages. I did have star being contact through my life. In fact, I just wrote my story for the first time in a book that I have contributed to through Yaspuru Earth Wisdom. It's called Alkini, and it will be coming out within the next month or so. There'll be an announcement on my webpage or my blog and Facebook when it's actually available. But I'm not going to talk about that because I've already published that. I've promised to kind of keep that there so until it comes out. But I'd be happy to come back on and talk about it if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I've heard so many similar stories, I mean, from people, especially we have an event that we do twice a year, and we gather certain people, and it's a very intense kind of spiritual experience. And at one point, we go around, and everyone kind of tells a little bit. And that same story, you know, I had it when I was little, and then I turned my back on it, but it wouldn't leave me alone, and I finally just had to, you know, pick it back up again and step into my own truth. You know, it's a very, very common event. So, you know, there's and like you said, you did learn a lot in the years where you were, you know, living third dimensionally and trying to, you know, push all that other stuff away. There's some things you can learn there, but like Lavendar says, you can come now or you can come later, but you're coming.
I like that. She's a smart woman, this woman.
Oh, yeah, Lavendar is the wisest woman I know. And I know that Lavendar had an extraordinary amount of work to do today, and I think she's listening at this point, but I know she'll chime in.
Oh, I feel her, and you know, that's a wonderful thing, and I have to give her a lot of credit for that, because you know, there's a lot of women out there who think they always have to be talking, you know, they always have to be saying something, and they can't just, I think you learn a lot when you just listen and you observe and you just watch. And I think that's part of what we were talking about earlier with this tracking. You just you watch and you observe. And you read the energy, and you know, you see what you see, and it opens up the vision, and you can kind of ride the wave, and you know, and if you're open to it, you can feel that, and you can go far together, the we, you know, when you actually go into that kind of seeing space with another person. But you do have to learn how to be quiet, and that's hard for people, both mentally inside of themselves, and also, you know, not be distracted by the outside stuff too.
Right,
good
right.
Good job, Lavendar.
And just to be able to witness things from a neutral spot, I mean, from a neutral vantage point, to be able to witness things without judgment, you're just observing, that is really an art form that I know I'm still working on it.
Well, it's fun. It's fun, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, it's fun because you start to see the synchronistic twine, that I call it. You start to see it. I mean, the more you're in an observer perspective, the better you see, because you're not attached from the ego. You're just in observer stance. You know, you're watching. You're out of that judgment phase or whatever you want to call that. And, you know, you're there. And my God, I mean, I love it. I love getting into that space. I tell people all the time, like, you've got to try this. This is like the best thing ever, because you really can see the signs come through, and you can, and they happen more and more. And the more open that you stay into that observer position, you're almost guided by the hand. to where you need to be and to, you know, all the other great things that come along with that. It's magic at a very, very beautiful level, but it's subtle. And the more you practice it, the more it will happen, and the more you'll get into that space where you can actually be like, wow, I just happen to find myself right exactly where I need to be, which is right in front of you, you know, or having this conversation or listening to this radio show, and oh my gosh, what she just said just reminded me of this, and then you go back to that, or you write it down, or you just kind of Google an image and see what it spurs up in your mind and your heart. And then you give it a creative outlet and you birth it out into the world. It's wonderful to just be in that space, you know?
Well, it is. And I have to tell you that Lavendar has been my mentor and my teacher and my best friend for 23 years. And one of the things that we're preparing for a future show, but it is on this subject, is that quality of being able to stay neutral and observe things without judgment. Because when it comes to the ET races and the fifth dimensional people, when you are expressing or experiencing or passing judgment on something, they can't play with you because it takes takes your frequency down too low,
right.
And there's nothing they can do about it. And when you relinquish that, you have to meet them on their frequency, because they're so, you know, they're in such a higher dimension that to come down into the dimension with anger and fear and prejudice and judgment, it's like nails on a chalkboard to them. They just can't do it. So we have to meet them. You know, and judgment is a place where a lot of people get trapped because it's so sneaky. You know,
I love what you said though. You can't play with me. You can't play. There's a play to it, and that's exactly what it is when you have more than one person doing it with you. It's a play. Come play with me. Come play in this realm. Come play in the realm of creation. And if they don't, you know, if they can't stay there, then they fall. You can go meet them if you want to, or you can stay where you are doing what you're doing and just hold the space for them to come back into that space if they so choose. You know, if they don't choose to, then someone else will. That's just the nature of order, and that's how things work. But I love the concept. It's like two inner children waiting to play in the ethers to really do exactly what we just talked about in this hour. You know, how we observe, how we go into our bodies, how we wake ourselves up, how we wake each other up. You know, all of that lies within that realm. And if you can play there, my God, stay there.
Right.
It's you know, you go back to the cubicle life, it's going to kill you. Literally.
And, you know, when we signed up and said, I want to go to the third dimension, I want to go to the earth, I think I can help, it's like when you get here, it's a whole different thing, because it really is like trudging through thick mud. It's so dense.
But don't forget the lotus. The lotus blooms from the mud. And that's why we're here. That's what we're doing.
Exactly, exactly. You're reading my mind. And but that's what you do, isn't it?
I don't know. That's what they say.
No. but it's like there can be such joy, you know, if you don't focus on the density, if you don't focus on all the things that are wrong in the third dimension. You know, you have to grasp onto that frequency that kind of spirals up out of it, and then you pull the rest of it up with you.
You have to be the frequency. You don't grasp it. You have to be it. Because grasping, there's a belief there somewhere that you aren't it. You feel the density because you're a lighter being floating through it. And so the density is what kind of slows you down a little bit so you can work your magic. You know, because you are never, ever overtaken by the density. You're just, you kind of transmute and spread your beauty through it. And it creates roots in the mud, which the lotus comes up from. So you're actually refining the energy and you're transmuting it, and that's what you're here to do as a star seed. You're here to be that seed in the mud so that you push up through the mud out to the sun to become the lotus. You know, and we're paving that way for other people to do the same. That's our purpose, part of it anyway.
That is just such a lovely analogy. It really, really makes it easy to get to grasp the concept.
It's fun to imagine the feeling of that with your partner, too. I have to tell everybody out there to try it. It's really, really wonderful to sit with your partners now, especially right now, especially with the astrology where it's headed. We have an incredible eclipse cycle starting. Research it, Google it, look it up. It is a tremendously powerful one for the next 2 years. And if you're doing the work with a partner, you know, you can start to experiment with how you feel. You can do kind of visualizations. You can play with this, and you can be very, very, I don't know, productive in creating the knowledge that you need to learn in order to teach other people. You know, Jesus and Magdalene didn't just suddenly wake up one day and say, I know everything. You know, they had some fun. They played. They were, you know, and every church in the country listening to this show is going to have a heart attack that I just said that, but it's true. You know, I mean, don't kid yourself. When you have a powerful couple, and I'm saying partners in general, so, you know, I work with the divine male and divine female energy specifically, but, you know, if it doesn't, whoever your beloved is, whoever your partner is, you can create a field. And you create a machine together, and you really just have a good time doing that. I don't know what got me started on this. I just kind of went on a rant, but that's how it happens sometimes. Whatever has to come out is going to come out. So it doesn't. Don't ask me to go back and repeat what I just said 5 minutes ago because it's already gone. But I have a feeling you guys understand that. But anyways,
yeah.
And this is where we're at. I mean, this is where we're at. If you try these things with the person you love, and the person you can touch and you can have that kundalini experience with, oh, my God. I mean, why would you want to do anything else? And that's, I think, what people are craving. They understand that this is part of an evolution on a scale that they may not grasp at first, but they will get it the more they practice and the more that they see for themselves the effect within themselves and also within their partners. But you got to be committed and you have to be there and you have to show up. And you have to own who you are, and you have to not expect 100% perfection from yourself or another person, because in that space, that doesn't exist. It's not about perfection. I'm better than you. There's no competition. There's nothing except pure, open heart space. And if you can get two people who can get into that space, you have a miracle. If you can get a planet to get into that space, you have, I don't even know what the word would be,
ascension.
You'd have something.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's why we're here. The past 4 months, every full moon has been at galactic degree, and I don't know if you're familiar with.
I'm sorry. The last 4 months. Can you repeat that? The last 4 months.
4 months. The full moon has been at galactic degree, and this is really the foundation of Lavendar's 30 years of working with the Pleiadians. And Lavendar, you could probably tell it better than I can about the discovery.
Well, before I get into that, there is something I'd like to say, because I was drawing this pyramid as she was talking, and it just occurred to me, the Trinity of Power is me, you, us.
Yes.
Male, female, us. That's the Trinity of Power.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And us being everyone.
Yeah,
so,
it's like...
Yeah.
Oh, you're female, your intent, alignment, commitment, and then you spin that together and make like the capstone of the pyramid. It's where the two of you go to create. It's the Trinity of Power. It's the power of three.
Now, today there's somebody passed this along my desk. There was an article on NBC News that announced that there was a formation of dark matter that had gathered, and they had been able to take a picture of it, and it was an eye. I have the image on my blog if anybody's interested in seeing, or you can Google it. It was an eye, like the all-seeing eye. So when you talk about the capstone and you talk about the Trinity, you know, I just wrote a piece about this eye being a state or a level of connection that you can create between your beloved. And that's two eyes become one is known as Shen. It's an Egyptian kind of, you know, background, and you can Google Shen and you'll find the image, but it's two eyes, one eye from each person, and they become one set of eyes. They become one eye. Now, because there's so much talk out there about the Illuminati, a lot of people take this symbolism as very negative, but we have to be careful with how we interpret symbols because every symbol has a taint. Somebody has tainted it one way or the other. You have to go back to the origin, and I just want to say that very quickly. But that adds on exactly to what you just said in your vision. I think it matches. It kind of clicks. Did you feel the click?
Yeah. Absolutely. Trinity of power, the power of the Trinity. And, yeah. So what she was talking about, the 4 months that we've had, I did a lot of work for many, many years with certain degrees, 25, 26, and 27 degrees of any sign. And we've had four full moons the last 4 months at these degrees. And this one that's coming up will be at, I believe, 25 or 26 Libra, which is what we call the galactic balancing beam between men, women, God, goddess, and the balancing beam, because it's pointed toward Mars. And Mars is, of course, a lot of things on the planet. And I've been tracking, for many, many years, the things that happen between the 15th and the 20th of the month in April. I call it the Jehovah blood burn. And the reason I named it that was because I started seeing certain tribes of Israel and people that are really into the Jewish tradition, how they started acting, what they were saying. And the real clue was when President Reagan went over to Germany, he put a wreath, a flower wreath, on a German soldier's grave, and about 60 million Jews just went off into rage and anger because he did that.
Mm.
Just started all kinds of stuff, you know, that year, just based on the fact that he put a flower wreath, you know.
Goes to show the power of the traumatic memorialization.
Yeah,
when we memorialize the trauma, we wake it up in every single mind. It's confirmation of what we're talking about. It's just in a different emotional context. So if we switch that to being one single symbol of love, you know, something that really catches people on that level, then we can have that same kind of emotional spread. And that's beautiful. I love what you just said. Thank you so much for sharing that.
So then I started tracking. Then there was Columbine, and then there was Waco, you know, and then there was Oklahoma City. These are all within those days. I mean, all that time period I'm talking about. These critical things that we have been forced to look at on the planet seems to happen between the 15th and the 20th of April.
Yep, there's a really, in fact, anybody can spend some time and take, you know, Google anything about this. It's been very well known for a long time that April 19th and 20th are kind of these premonition days, you know, what's going to happen, because we have had a very long history. And a lot of those events, I believe, are very much coordinated to happen specifically on those dates. Because it's a ritualistic kind of mega ritual, whatever you want to call it, because you have these people in power that, of course, are very, very understanding of what we are all talking about here now, but they do it for their own purposes. And, you know, I used to talk a lot about this, and I still talk about this sometimes because, you know, I've researched it till I was blue in the face. It was just one of those things. I was just hooked, and intuitively, when you are really connected to your intuition and your clairvoyance, which I believe are natural abilities for everybody, you start to see patterns, you start to see number patterns, you start to see a lot of things within those things. It's a matrix. It's like you almost start to decode the computer program. And there are certain numbers and certain configurations that go with each program. And you can almost track the source. Okay, well, I recognize that pattern, and that pattern usually aligns with all of these really nasty, traumatic, negative events. So that must be the program that runs that. And then you have other programs and other numbers that run more miracle-like events and headlines and so on and so forth. And so then you recognize that numerical code as something that runs along those lines. And oftentimes you'll find that they mirror each other, like 116 and 119 or 911, you know, back and forth. I have found, you know, 2012 I worked on the Olympics and did some things with other people, and it was very clear that these numbers were very much there. And it can scare people. It can get people to really become paranoid. It can be, they get really lost. You have to be very solid and very grounded when you go into that, because you're going to find things that are gross and ugly. You kind of get into the underbelly of the world, and, you know, it's not very pretty. But the fact that you can get there anyway is a miracle. The fact that you can see the codes and you can start to track things and you can see the energies at play is a miracle. And it's something to really kind of just, you know, you need to find others who know how to do it. And you do it as a group. And as you do it as a group, my God, it gets really interesting then, because you have access into different dimensional perspectives from several human body computers that are very fine-tuned into a more telepathic configuration that gives you access to the etheric imprints of these events, where you really start to find not only the codes, but who's creating them.
Well,
wow.
Lavendar has tracked codes and numbers and degrees in correlation with astrological timing for almost your whole life, right, Lavendar?
A long time.
And, yeah, the correlations are way beyond coincidence.
I'd say that synchronization is confirmation.
Absolutely. Amen to that. That's the truth right there. When you have a synchronistic confirmation happen, that's it. Done deal. That's how I operate now. There's no more, let me go sit on the bench over here and think about it, or let me toss it around in my mind and let me just, no, that doesn't happen, because it's been too consistent. It is the most consistent thing I have found in this lifetime so far, to be honest with you, which is great. It's really, really a magical thing.
Yeah, it's called Get It, Got It, Good.
Yeah, I like that.
Gosh, yeah. we have a lot of callers on the switchboard, and normally we have a few people that have a question. Would you be willing to answer some?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I'm having a great time. I'm staying here.
Okay.
So let's
well, if anyone has a comment or a question about anything that we've discussed tonight, you need to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And our switchboard hosts, Fiona, Claudia, and Vanya, will answer your call and set you up in the queue for us. So I just wanted to kind of put that process into motion while we can continue our conversation. But it usually takes a few minutes for that to happen. So if you have a question or comment, now is the time.
I'd like to ask a question about Carol Rosen. Are you still in contact with her?
I worked on the project with Carol for 2 years, and I started working with her. I was with her for 2010, 2011, those years. And, you know, she was really, I was part of the ground crew that really started to put things together, the website, the fundraising aspects, and so on and so forth. And her and I still have a friendship. I don't talk to her as much. I kind of backed out of the project. I had other things come up that I really wanted to focus on. But I was really there to just kind of set up the elementals and kind of get the structure, the bones put into place with her, and do a little inspiring and just kind of, you know, do a lot of what we're doing right now, just kind of tracking the energies, but in more of a project structure-like form. And it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot of things. I had a lot of really great conversations, and it was very enlightening on a lot of levels. She's a wonderful woman. She does a lot of really good work. But I was there. I did what I was supposed to do, and it was just a little infusion, and that was it. And I don't know why I just decided that was it, and I trust it. So when my guides are telling me it's time to move on, I listen.
Well, that's part of our work. We spin. We spin and walk away. We spin and do something else. It's how we're put together. The mm-hmm. ones that stay with something for, you know, way past their time, it's like you know, they let moss grow under their feet when they should have been moving and going on. I mean, I feel like I'm part galactic gypsy because I've traveled the world. I've seen so many things. I've had so many high strangeness experiences, and it's because I was able to recognize that I walk into a situation, spend the energy, and when it was done, and I left.
Yeah, yeah. I have had the same exact experiences, and that's what's enabled me to work on a lot of different things and to get a lot of life experience, actually, is that ability to go into a situation, stay, and spin. And when you say spin, I think of spiders. And when I think of spinning spiders, I think of what's that place out in California where all the men go from all the big corporate places where women aren't allowed, and they have a big emblem in front of their party place that says no spinning spiders allowed.
I haven't heard about that.
and you know, forgive all my, you know, people who know me know I should know that, and you're right, I should. It's just I've been in such a different space from that conspiracy world that I just kind of I don't really track that stuff anymore. But that did trigger. So that's interesting because when we go to that place, I'm not even going to get on the computer and try to find the name of that. But when we go to that, when we have all these men convene and do this, we're missing that element in some senses. So we're really looking at a new world order, but not in the new world order sense of conspiracy land. We're looking at it in the sense of women reordering the web so that we can start rippling out different vibrations besides what's going out now. So I love that. I love that you used that word, spin. Thank you.
Well, I was given a lot of galactic instruction with some ETs that taught me how to spin and walk away. I didn't really come up with it by myself.
Well, I have too, and we're, you know, and at some point we need to have a conversation, maybe, because I'm finding a lot of similarities between us, and I think that's, you know, that's always a sign to me that maybe there's either, unless you have lots of time on the air tonight, we can certainly talk about it, but at some point, you know, if you'd like to contact me, we can have a conversation about that, because
one particular thing that I can think of that happened when I didn't pay attention to spin and walk away, I was at the Grand Canyon. I was with two other cosmic sisters, and we did some really incredible work. I mean, it was over the top. And I heard, okay, it's time to leave. You need to leave now. So one of the other girls said, oh, I don't feel good. Can we go get a motel room right here? Let's go to bed. I'm so sleepy. It just started that whining thing. And I went ahead and said, okay, it was so heavy and it was so high strangeness and experiential, everybody wanted to go lay down, and I'm getting, we should leave. Well, we didn't leave. We went into the motel, and that's when we got attacked by little red lights in the room. We got paralyzed. We got all kinds of things done to us, and it's because we didn't leave.
Yeah, they really, you know, our star beings, brothers and sisters, boy, they really, really look out for you. I mean, they just really do. I mean, mine do. I've never had any negative experiences with mine. They've always been wonderful, loving, and really, I just have no, I know the UFO industry does really, really get into that stuff, and we could talk about that for so long. But, you know, for me, I always just go by my own experience, and you know, what I have experienced has been nothing but love, and they really do act as guardians for me, and they will pull people into my life, and they will pull people out of my life, and they will do a lot of different things in that sense. I always end up in the places where I need to be. I will consult, you know, their energies when I make decisions to do things, and they're my family. I mean, I just have never had any kind of, they've never let me down. With that,
well,
the only time that I have
down,
is when I don't listen, just like you, when I don't listen.
I was in a training mode, and I did not adhere to what was happening, and I didn't. I let other people make the decision for me. But after that, I never had to experience that ever again, because I knew when the work was done, you leave, you move, your
mm-hmm.
energy, you don't stay and hold hands and you know, hum or pray or whatever, you get the hell out.
Well, you can. I mean, I think that's where we're changing. I think that's the beauty of this, is that, you know, when we talk about the technology that's out there, when we talk about those things, those kinds of, you know, counterproductive activities that happen. You know, it's naive to not be in the know about what the realities of it are. But it's also, we have to remember that we are a lot more powerful than we've been told. And we've kind of bought into this disempowerment package that they've hand-signed and delivered to us. And we've taught our families, we've taught our children, no matter how good of a parent we are, you know, there's still a lot of programming that gets transmission, you know, not only through schools, but just so many different ways it comes in. And now you have apps and texts and Snapchat and all these crazy, ridiculous things that people can just continuously burrow that into the brain. We are evolving out of that. We are coming into a space where we absolutely can counter-effect that, turning it off, saying no, walking away, doing those kinds of same similar things. I mean, conscious consumerism, don't ever doubt the power of that to change big companies' minds. You know, the military-industrial complex is gigantic. A lot of people walk around feeling helpless, like they can't ever possibly take that on, so why bother? Let's be sad. Let's be depressed. Well, go ahead, because you're just feeding right into it. I mean, why would you want to do that? You know, you want to become love. You want to become of higher vibration. You want to practice the body techniques that take you into those states of consciousness where we are absolutely much more than, you know, that. So we can walk into the rooms where the red lights are. We can walk into those spaces, and it doesn't affect you. If you can get into that electromagnetic literal, it's a scientific fact. They will come out and show it. I know it. That this is what happens when two people get together or a group of people get together. You just go into that hive space and create that vibration that counter-affects those things, and it can't touch you. And that's what they've taught me to keep myself protected.
Well, we do have a caller with a question, so if we can switch modes here. We are going to bring onto the line Eric. Hello, Eric. You have a question?
Yes, hello. Yes, I was wondering maybe if I could get your commentary on the upcoming Cardinal Grand Cross on April 23rd. And just as a sub-note, me personally, I have a Cardinal Grand Cross on my natal chart, and I've always wondered whether there's any kind of anything about me having that on my chart and this coming up, whether that would have any significant bearing on myself. But I don't mean it to be so much about me, but I just thought I'd mention that as well.
I love that it's all about you, Eric. I don't know who's supposed to answer the question, but I just had to say that. I love that you're asking that question for yourself. I'm so proud of you because most men don't get on and talk about this stuff, so thank you.
Thanks. But, yeah, I'm really a novice at astrology, so I'm just sampling.
Are you asking the question? Is the question going to me, ladies, or is it?
Anybody who feels compelled to comment?
I'll take it.
Lavendar is our master astrologer here.
I'll take it. I noticed that grand crosses and grand squares really, in this particular incarnation, ask you to be more than what you think you are. It's an empowering. A lot of people say, oh, that's so stressful and that's so challenging. Yeah, but through it, when you come through the other side, boy, you're clean, you're shiny, you're ready to pull your sleeves up and go to work for the planet. So those are times when you get really still, like the times that you're talking about on the 23rd, and you embody who you are, you embody the planets in their position, and you just simply put your face in the wind, put your face in the sun, and just say, I'm here, I'm ready, let's go. Instead of sitting over in the corner, you know, counting your toes and doing your inner child work and waiting for Darth Vader to walk in the door and then not be prepared, okay? That's the only way I can present what you just said about the grand square and the grand cross.
Okay.
Can I add some thoughts on that? Is it, I love how you're aware of this. First of all, and the fact that, you know, is it important? I mean, absolutely it's important. You know, these are grand alignments that we connect to, that are just really, really important for us to pay attention to. So, you know, don't doubt it. Don't second guess it. Just, you know, prepare some kind of personal ceremony for yourself or some kind of way to honor you as a representative of the divine masculine energy on the planet. We need all men like yourself to kind of create their grand cross within themselves so that they can literally stand up in the holiness of who they are.
Wow. Well, I appreciate both of what you said. What both of you said, it's very inspiring and gives me some new insight.
Well, thank you for asking the question.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling in, Eric, and make the most of this alignment when it comes up, because it'll be very exciting when you're ready and prepared. So, thanks for calling, and. We hope to hear from you again sometime. Thanks so much, Eric. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, Eric was having the only question, so if anyone else on the board has a question, we just have a few minutes. So press 1 on your keypad if you do want to make a comment or have a question.
That was a great question. I'm glad you called in with that. It inspires me to think about the masculine energies, you know, and how they can work into these also. You know, we hear so much about the divine feminine energies. We don't talk enough about the divine masculine energies and how we really can support our men in stepping into their full bloom too.
Absolutely. And I mean, all of us have both qualities, and living in balance is so important, you know, for men to have that connection with the divine feminine within them, and for women to have the connection with the divine masculine within them, because when the individuals are balanced, that's when the magic can happen. So it doesn't look like we're going to have any more callers with questions coming up. So is there anything that you would like to talk about just to kind of wrap up here?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Oh.
Or Lavendar, either one.
Well, I just appreciate this, and this was very confirming for me personally to get on a show with such wonderful women who are so in tune with this, not only this level of work, but are actually manifesting it into a show for other people to enjoy. You know, I hope that your listeners really, really listen to what you're doing and pay attention to your newscast and, you know, the astrology and all of that, because it's so important. It really, really is. I can't stress it enough to really start aligning yourself with these things, because it does something to you, and it changes you on all your levels, and it really does bring a kind of beauty and magic to your life that, if you allow it to continue to unfold, just keeps unfolding in the most beautiful ways. It's just like the never-ending blooming lotus flower. You know, you come up from the muck, you finally realize where you're at, and you allow yourself to open up to that, and that's where the magic's going to happen. So if he listens and he goes and he does his ceremony and he, you know, honors himself in that way, he'll become a generator for men. And an example for men. And as each man wakes up and starts to do that, then they'll be fully prepared for the women who wake up in their full feminine potential as well. It'll be a beautiful day on the planet.
And it is coming. There's no getting around it, because the planetary energies, you know, move us towards the same point from all different directions. And the age of Aquarius is an age of harmony and humanitarianism and ultimately world peace. So, we have another caller coming on with a question. So let's get to that while we still have a few minutes left. Okay, we are going to be talking to Jane. Hi, Jane. Do you have a question?
Hi, Ariel. I do, and it's another astrological one. My natal placement of Mars is in Libra, and apparently the upcoming passage of the nearness of Mars is also in Libra, and I was wondering if anyone wanted to just sort of address, and it, my Mars in Libra is in the 12th house, if there might be a special focus area for me. I know that love was mentioned, but just sort of get into that space and really enhance the whole love thing, and I love that idea, but I was wondering if there was anyone who wanted to speak more specifically about my having my Mars in Libra in the 12th house with this Mars coming up being in Libra and being a little bit closer.
Do you know what degree your Mars is at in Libra?
I can look real quick. It is 27 degrees, 49 minutes.
Okay. Lavendar, do you want to take that? And then, Hillary, you can also comment if you want to.
Okay, Hillary, you comment. I'm gonna run to the next room and get my ephemeris. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not an astrologer, so I can't speak to the degrees and all of that. But it sounds really pretty. I can't
say
that.
Oh, goody.
Well, you know, what happens with me is I kind of pay attention to what you say, and what you said was love, and what caught your attention was the love aspect. So I can speak to that because I know love.
Okay.
I know it. And, you know, for what came through rather just kind of immediately was, again, what we were talking about this hour is that, you know, you getting into that space, creating that love space and really, you know, utilizing these specifics of your chart to help you, you know, kind of spin in that space in a more elevated kind of sensual way, you know, where feeling and thinking become the same thing, you know, where
right.
your senses don't necessarily, you know, differentiate between each other, but where they're all working together. So I would say, you know, find some time to do some really in-depth meditation, to really get into your body, to work your sexual energy over this time frame too, and to really just include that and infuse that into your spiritual aspects of what you do. Because a woman's sexual energy, and I mean kundalini, you know, really getting into there or making love to your partner, whatever it is that you do, you know,
right.
infusing that. And so the love aspect, you know, just really popped out at me. So that's going to be very important for you to focus on through the moon and also the Mars aspect, because Mars is really coming. He's a consort, and he's a wonderful man. So let's just, you know, make ourselves
right.
ready for that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's a wonderful way to put that. That actually gave me something to work with. So I'm going to ask you very quickly, because you touched on having, you know, the soulmate or the same souls or the twin souls that possibly are not on the earth at this time. Do you have experience or know of others who have with, while you're entertaining this notion of lovemaking, that this this other aspect of you, this tight flame thing, actually associates with you in a way that you recognize another aspect of yourself or another connection with you more present than, I mean, since they're not here, do you have experience with something being there?
Oh, yeah, I do. No, my twin is
okay.
here. My twin is definitely
okay.
here in the physical. But I was when
oh,
I was
well, that
speaking,
makes it easy.
Yeah, it does. And it makes it a lot of fun. I very much have experience with this, and that's why I get so happy to talk about it, because I know it's real and it can really happen.
Yeah, yeah.
The kind of connection that I have with him is extraordinarily powerful. It's very, very easy. And we are both working in the level that we can, you know, really just grasp what we're each visualizing. It's a twin aspect, but it's bigger than a twin. You know, it's almost mm-hmm. like the same mind, the same heart. What happens
oh, nice.
To me physically happens to him, and he's 3,000 miles away from me.
Okay.
So
okay.
we're not even in the physical space most of the time.
Okay.
But this creation of that is what really kind of, you know, it tests it, and we experiment with it, and, you know, and,
okay.
and we do have the confirmation, yes.
Okay, so it doesn't matter if they're in the physical or not.
No. Well, when we're in the physical together, then it's even better. It's like we go away, we come together, we go away, come together kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's how our
yeah.
relationship is. And he's you know, he stands by my side ceremonially. The spiritual work he does is very much similar to mine. And so we have that telepathy that goes on back and forth. But it doesn't matter if there's a physical space necessarily, but you do need to have that physical space at some point, because the touch, the actual biological skin-on-skin touch, making love to each other, is an absolute vital aspect of that too.
Okay. Thank you for answering that so thoroughly.
Okay, I'm back with the camera.
I like talking about that.
Perfect timing.
Okay. And Lavendar, you have my chart.
Okay, so on the 14th and 15th of April, the North Node is going to be at 29 Libra. And Mars, of course, is going to be 16 Libra. And at the same time, it being in your 12th house, that's the time when you balance. The 12th house is secrets or things that are hidden from you. So when the full moon and the eclipse happens, it rips it straight open, and you get to see the truth about something that you've been wondering about for a very long time, having to deal with a man.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Okay, well, I can't. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go now.
Have fun.
I love you guys. Thanks a bunch. And Hillary, it's been wonderful listening to you. I'll check out your site.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jane. Bye-bye. Well, we're going to try to squeeze in one more caller as soon as they get out of the screening room here. So just give us a minute. But, yeah, Lavendar, I just love how you nailed that.
That was good.
So we're waiting for this caller to come out of the screening room, and we'll have one more question, and then that will be really it. We're going to have to wrap up because we don't have the air unlimited here. Okay, we're ready to go in just a half a moment. Okay, we're going to be talking to Lisa in just a moment as soon as she's done with the people on the switchboard. And here we go. Okay. Hi, Lisa. You have a question, and you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I recently got married 2 weeks ago, and a lot of things have just exploded since we've gotten married. I wanted to know what's the shift I'm going through?
Oh, that. That. Oh, you're talking about that. Well, congratulations on getting married, first of all. That's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Say exploded, what exactly are you talking about?
Well, my mother, my sister, my daughter, hell, even my ex-husband, their attitudes just majorly have been changing, and it just came to a head these last couple of days. But unfortunately, it's coming through my daughter. And even though she respects her stepfather, it's me that seems to be the focal point of the anger and emotion. And even though we tried to talk it out, I don't know, I just feel like there's other influences with her. But at the same time, I just feel like this major growth within me. I can't be any happier. I honestly, I'd explode. I would dissolve into the stardust that I am. But
well, you're definitely changing the frequency, sweetheart, because you're in that state of love and joy and happiness, and you're creating those ripples we talked about earlier, and it's going through your entire landscape internally and externally, and it's shaking up all the dust bunnies in your body and everything that's coming out. So you're probably detoxing, too, and showing some physical symptoms, and that's okay. It's all going to move through. But you're also shaking up that physical element, which includes everybody's attitude and grumpy pants and all those other things that kind of make people, you know, feel that too. So first of all, congratulations on achieving that level of love and joy, because that's what it will do. And keep doing it. just keep loving and staying in that state of joy. You are a matriarch of your family, and what ripples through you ripples through the rest of the family. And everybody's going to feel it in their own way. They're just not going to describe it in exactly the same way.
Okay. Does this have any effect on... I've been really working on vibration. I've been really trying to learn a lot about vibration, not just for the abundance because we want to buy a house, but career. Is there something that you can see or tell me that I need to know or do? I don't know where to go.
Are you asking about which specifically? you talked about resonance and vibration is what you're doing. The emanations, that's the vibration. You're creating that vibration. So it does have something to do with vibration. Everything does. Everything that comes out of your mouth is a vibration. Career, are you asking specifically about that? I'm a little unclear of what your question really is.
Okay, I just started a new job. And my husband and I almost said fiance. My husband and I have been talking about buying a house locally where we are in the facility that we live in now. Can you contemplate that? Is that something that's coming easily?
Well, as you were talking, there was like a fade away. Energetically that I felt. So I'm not sure what that was, but it just sounds like, you're really happy, you're really in a great place, and all of a sudden you start talking about that, and everything just kind of goes into, oh, what should I do? You completely dropped your vibration just in the description your question. That's why I asked you to be more specific, because I needed to see where that was.
My career, my choice of jobs, I know that this is kind of a filler job. I don't feel as a forever job. And
what do you want to do? What do you want to do? If you could do anything ever, what would you want to do?
I'm a nurse by trade, but I really am loving the mental health aspect. So maybe a behavioral therapist.
Okay. So what's stopping you from doing that?
Nothing. My husband would be totally supportive of that.
So do it.
And I will do it.
There we go.
And we are, how do I put this? Do you know, can you sense, can you tell me if we're living in the area that we are now and when we will buy a house?
No, I cannot tell you that. And the reason is because that is all about you manifesting for yourself. If I were to tell you the answer to that, then you are manifesting what you think I think you should be doing, and I don't work like that. So what I'm going to say to you is you know, the house and the location, those are all kind of things that will click once you start aligning with your own power and your own passion and doing what you want to do. So once you make the decision to start going into the mental health, that's really what you want to do, and that's what passion, you know, that really just fills you up with the same kind of joy and quality of love that you have inside of you, then do it, and then just pursue that, and then synchronistically watch what comes into your field from making that decision, okay? That's living what we're talking about on this radio show. It's not about, you know what I mean? Okay, good.
No, I manifested my husband. I can manifest a house.
Yeah, baby. There you go.
You girls think I'm crazy. March 6th of last year, I said, I am ready, universe. This is what I want. And on March 9th, I met the man I wanted.
Amen, sister. Now you go make some good love to that man, and you go start creating that joy and love in your house, and you watch how much transformation and change and happiness comes in.
Blessings. Thank you for confirmation. I needed that boost. Thank you.
You're
bye.
Welcome, Lisa. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. So, Hillary, let's just kind of recap quickly. I know you've got a lot of different irons in the fire, but your website is Hillary, H-I-L-L-A-R-Y, and Ramo is the correct pronunciation, is it?
Yes.
Okay, R-A-I-M-O. .com and you've got a Facebook page, you've got a YouTube channel, you are the host of is Achieve Radio, the station that you're on, and then the name of your show is?
Yep, it's my name, Hillary Ramo
Show. It's
just
Hillary Ramo Show.
Radio, Thursday
on
night, 7 p.m.
Eastern.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, and you've also got the book Money Matters.
I do. That's an old book that was written in 2005. It's still relevant, and it's still a great little book, and it's doing well. I'm working on a couple other book projects right now that I will have out. I do private sessions with people, so if you want me, you know, to get on the phone with me for an hour and you want to talk about anything, you know, we can certainly navigate kind of the way we did throughout the show, and people can contact me through my website to schedule those.
Okay. Well, great. And when the other book is published and you can talk about that section that you didn't want to talk about before, we'd love to have you come back on, and we could just go on and on and on. Unfortunately, we've only got a few minutes left here for this evening. But, Hillary, it's just been a delight having you with us, and I know that you are going to continue to do outstanding work on the planet, and we are grateful for you being here on the planet with us. And Lavendar, do you have anything to add before I conclude?
Just going to say ditto to everything you just said.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say quickly, I know we're closing, but, you know, thank you very much for having me here. And again, I just think what you guys are doing is great. And anytime you want to come over to Achieve and do your show or have your news person, she has an open spot on my show. She can come and deliver the same news on my channel and talk about the same things that she did, and I would be happy to have that happen. So keep up the great job, guys. Thanks so much for having me here.
You are so welcome. And on behalf of our staff here at Starseed Radio Academy, Lavendar, Anastasia, Fiona, Claudia, and Vanya, we wish you a great week, and we will be back next week. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.